Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the first half of today's gospel, especially these words from the prophet Isaiah that will be fulfilled in John the Baptist and the purpose he came. He said, "So that all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, a couple days ago, I was questioning why I owned a dog. And what had happened is I'd walked through a field with him. It was pitch black as usual, and I wasn't paying attention like I should have. And he saw a rabbit that I didn't see, and so he went after it full tilt and just about dislocated my shoulder. So when I got back, you know, I wasn't thrilled with him. And I'm going, why do I even have him? Why? How is this helping me any? I'm going to end up injured or something. And just then I was going through Facebook, and I came across a quote. It's almost as if the dog put it in there, okay? And the quote was this: "The best feeling is watching your dog enjoy the life you provided for him." And I thought, oh, well, okay, that makes sense. And I do enjoy that, seeing the life that we've provided for the dog and see him enjoy it. I also realize that that's, I think, explains our relationship with God. I think God truly enjoys us seeing us enjoy the life that he provides for us. And that's defined in this way: we're dependent on him. And there's another way of saying that: we are a burden on God, a burden that he likes. And that is how we are created as human beings. We're created to be dependent on others and to be a burden on other people. When you're a little baby, you're completely dependent on your parents. When you grow up and you're an adult, then you're dependent on other adults. And when you become very aged, you become dependent again on other people caring for you. It's how we are created, and yet it's something that we constantly are fighting against. We want to be independent. So people don't want a child. They don't want that burden. They get rid of the child. If they don't want to be burdened by a family, they leave. If we don't want to be burdened in our old age, we don't want to be a burden to others. I can't tell you how many people I ran into, especially in my first church, people who were saying, well, I tell you, Pastor, as soon as I get old and I become a burden on others, I hope I just die. And I'm just like, no, that's not how it should be. You're created to be a burden on others. You're created to be dependent on others. And that certainly is true with the message of John. Now, Luke introduces us to John in a way that's kind of unique as opposed to the other Gospels. They kind of go to great lengths to describe who John is, what he looks like, what he eats, that kind of thing. And what they're doing is they're trying to draw a parallel between John the Baptist and the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Now, of course, that has a lot of meaning as long as your audience are Jewish. But Luke's audience primarily are Gentiles, and they really, if they even know about Elijah, they really don't care too much about him. So he begins this introduction to John the Baptist in a unique way. What does he do? He lists off seven people who are political and religious leaders, all the way from internationally to locally. And I think he does that for a couple very important reasons. Number one, he wants the story of Jesus to be told in a specific historical time. There were many religions back then, and many of them have creation stories. Many of them have stories about a savior of one sort or another. And they all begin the same way: once upon a time, something happened. In the fabled past. Luke says that's not the case with this. You can pinpoint exactly when Jesus' ministry began by looking at these leaders. Secondly, he's trying to show that God's power is not the same as human power. This is a perfect example of human power. You have Tiberius Caesar. He was emperor of the greatest empire at the time. Pontius Pilate, the governor of all of Judea. Then you have Philip and Herod, Antipas, Lysanias. And then you have these local religious leaders who were the most important religious leaders in Jerusalem, Annas and Caiaphas. Very important people. But when the word of God comes to mankind, it doesn't come to any of them. Not in Rome and not in Jerusalem. It comes to John the Baptist in the wilderness. The third thing about his introduction is he really wants us to understand the setting. This is all taking place in the wilderness, and that's very important. And finally, he wants, this to be the purpose that he has come. And that is that all flesh may see the salvation of God. That's why he came. Now, when we look at God, he often meets his people in the wilderness. He brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness as his people and to create them into his people. And so for 40 years, what did he do? Every piece of food they ate came from God. Everything they drank came from God. All the places they went was God leading them. Every moment of their lives for 40 years, they were completely dependent on God for their survival. And they knew it. That's what God wanted. Then they get into the promised land, and almost instantly they slip free from that dependence. And then everything falls apart. And God starts sending judges to save them. He sends prophets to call them back. And yet eventually they have to go off into the exile and that wilderness again. And they feel that they are alone. God has abandoned them. The prophets say, no. Even in the wilderness of your exile, God is with you. And eventually he's going to bring you back to the promised land through wilderness, and God will be with you then too. And that all comes true. And then 540 years after they get back, Jesus has his ministry, and you can see that the people have completely slipped free from this dependence on God all over again. You can see the attitude in our text here too, right? What must I do? What must I do? What must I do? To John the Baptist. That's all Jesus ever heard during his ministry. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to please God? What the people in effect had done is, instead of being dependent on God and a burden on God, they had taken God and his laws and his commandments, or at least how they saw it incorrectly, and they placed God and his commandments as a burden on themselves. And so God finds them in Jesus Christ, and he finds them lost and alone. He finds them burdened when they shouldn't be. And it was never meant to be that way. It certainly wasn't God's idea. And so, it says the word of God comes to John. And through this text and all the other texts about John the Baptist, you can see what his purpose is. He reaches out to the people, and he tells them, there is only one way to get back to that original relationship. And that's through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. If you ever really want to be dependent, feel dependent and a burden on somebody, not that I'm suggesting you do this intentionally, you shouldn't have to, but sin against somebody, okay? I mean, don't plan that for today. Just, you know, it'll happen, trust me, okay? Sin against somebody. And then go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Because at that moment, you see, you're vulnerable. You're unguarded. And you're completely dependent on that person forgiving your sin to renew the relationship again. That's exactly what John the Baptist is saying when he points to Jesus eventually and says, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. To get back to that relationship, you have to be dependent on God. You have to be a burden on God, which is what he wanted from the very beginning. And then you see his son, Jesus Christ. And we may be in the wilderness, but he's always with us. And this has to be driven into our minds time and time again, every day. Every worship service we have here begins the same way, with confession and absolution. Going to God in our vulnerability and depending on him to forgive us, to renew our lives so that we can leave here happier than when we first got here. And we have to do that every single day of our lives. I pray that the Lord continue to give us the faith to see that the relationship we have is a dependent one and that we are a burden on God. I know I am. And God would have it no other way. In Jesus' name, amen.